Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right. Today I want to make a point to close the discussions that we started a few weeks ago. We had four sessions of it on what we call generating spiritual energy for the redemption of a nation. Now, when I finish this, I will now go on to introduce the new series of messages that I will be teaching on this program. Now, in the last many weeks, we have been speaking on that subject that I mentioned on how to generate the spiritual energy that will lead to the redemption of a nation. And then there are a number of things that we have seen. Now, I've explained that there are three main forces that control the issues that we experience on this earth. You know, I was discussing this with somebody some time ago, and he quoted, either Abraham Lincoln or one of the great American presidents, and that the man said that he has come to realize that the development of any nation, that is the progress that a people experience, is actually spiritual. That his experience in governing people has taught him that if people are going to progress, that it appears as if there is a force beyond them that actually causes them to progress. You know, a lot of us would just like to complain as if our neighbor is a problem. So we think that the way by which we progress is to run to a place where we have better neighbors. But in reality, that's not really what happens. Now, so we saw that there are three things that control the events on this earth. I said number one is the purpose of God, and the problem with that one is that it does not have a time limit and does not have a generational limit. If one generation fails God, God moves to the next generation. So it behoves therefore that particular generation to do the things that are necessary to make God bring forth his good purpose in their lives. We have also explained that the thoughts of God are always good. God does not by himself decide that evil should come upon a nation. The thoughts he has are always thoughts of good and not of evil. Now, in the heart of God, you don't experience thoughts like if a nation is a black nation, is an African nation, it must be a beggarly nation, or if a nation is a white nation, then that's the only reason why they will prosper. No, God doesn't think like that. The thought he has for everybody is a thought of good, but before people can experience the goodness of God, there are two other things that must cooperate for God's thoughts to become materialized. We said in the second point, which is the first of these two thoughts, is the behaviors of the people. That righteousness, the Bible says, exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. That is, if people do well, they will experience the blessing of God, but if they do evil, they will experience judgment from the hands of God. So, if any man, therefore, if any nation wants good in his life, in their environment, we want progress for their society, what they have to do is to legislate righteousness, is to ensure that evil does not thrive in the land. A land that rewards thieves with chieftaincy title will never experience progress. If you see a crook and you endow him with chieftaincy titles, what you are telling your children is that this is a way to progress. That in our community, we recognize that stealing is a way to make progress in life. What we have done, therefore, is to entrench iniquity in our standards in that society. Therefore, we attract evil from the hand of God. A lot of things that have come upon us in this country is not a result of one particular person. It's a general attitude in the hearts of the people. Now, that's the second point. The third thing amongst the three things that I said control the issues of this life are the prayers of men. I emphasize that these men, they don't refer to everybody. That in every land, especially when the land is experiencing judgment or about to experience judgment, that there are certain people that have the ability to restrain God's hand from judgment. There are certain people that have the ability to pray down the mercy of God upon a land. That is, God does not expect that everybody will just repent and begin to do good. But that there are certain people that are important before God. And these are the righteous people. These are the 10 righteous men that God said, if I saw, I would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the calling to people as I preach this message, if you are listening to me, is that God is calling you to sanctify yourself, pull yourself out from amongst them and be separate. That if you are God's righteous man, what you will experience is blessing from the hands of God. If you are God's righteous person, God has given your word or your voice power to be able to call for mercy upon the land. And when you do call upon mercy, God will, because of you, withhold the hand of judgment and bring blessing upon that land. And these are the things that we have said. It is so important we bear these things in mind, that the nation is not going to turn around because everybody is changing. The nation is going to turn around because certain people have repented of their ways, and these people don't have to be presidents or governors or senators or any kind of government official. They are just individuals, university students, a secondary school student, a worker in a civil servant office, an entrepreneur in his business, a trader inside the market, maybe a luxury bus driver, an airline pilot. Different people in different areas, a market woman. Do you understand my point? That once God's word touches your heart and you align your own ways to please God perfectly, God says it is people like you that can pray for the nation and the nation will be turned around for good. Don't ever expect everybody to listen to what I'm saying. It is certain people. That is why for me, worse than brain drain in any nation is spiritual drain. People that should have risen up, aligned their ways before God, and began to utter prayers of the nation. They look around and they allow Satan to scare them away, looking for places where things are better, forgetting that there is no good place that was created spontaneously, but that people therein did these things that I'm talking about. People therein took these steps that we are discussing in these teachings, and it's a result of those things that we are seeing and we are rushing towards. But you see, that is it, like I always say, it's a taily attitude. We say, I'm the head and not the tail. That is how tails behave. They wait for something to be created somewhere and they run there to go and enjoy it. But this is the head. The head is the one that paves the way. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? That it is the head that creates new things. It is the tails that come in to enjoy what has been created by the head. Stop singing, I am the head and not the tail. Stop confessing, I am the head and not the tail. If your works don't show that you really believe that you are the head, what does the head do? A head looks for difficult places that God has planted him in, and he tries to create good in that place. Then the tails will come in later and try and enjoy it. That is a tail. Tail and head is not what you call yourself. It's exactly what you do that decides whether you are the head and not the tail. Now, these things we have discussed in previous times. I will try not to go over everything again. Now, what I want to bring out today can be seen clearly from these two scriptures, and I want us to quickly read it. From Matthew chapter 6, I'll read from verses 3 to 6. He said, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 to 6. Then again, I want to quickly read Psalm 122, verses 6 and 7. David said there, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. There's something I want to bring out from these two scriptures that we have read, which is a thought that we find throughout the Holy Scriptures. And this is a seed for greatness, not only for yourself, but for the generations after you, that is your offsprings. Now, there's something I've said again and again, and I'd like to say it again. Life is lived this way. It's a matter of seed and harvest. That what you will experience in life as a middle-aged man, as an old man, will be a reward for something you did in the earlier parts of your years. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, it is not as a result of struggles that a man begins to succeed. Solomon said it clearly. He said, the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. That is, it is not the man that is physically able that gets results. The most intelligent boys in school did not turn out to be the richest of them all. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The reason is that the things that really control the things that are seen are unseen themselves. That is, Jesus said here that if a man is doing charity, if he does it in secret, God, who is the judge of the whole earth, who is the creator of good, who is the giver of wealth, who is the giver of satisfaction, who is the giver of long life, will reward him openly. That is, if you see a man that has become very successful, physically speaking, if you see a man that has really achieved what all of us would like to achieve in life, if you see a man that appears like life is just breathing good towards him, Jesus was saying, in effect, the reason why he's getting that thing is not easily apparent. That the thing that God is rewarding in all these things that this man is experiencing was done in secret. The seed for that fruit was sown in secret. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, any man who is achieving results, that God is not rewarding something that he did for good in secret, will be broken suddenly. Do you understand my point? There are people who have put forth their hands to evil. They have sold their souls to Satan that they might achieve great wealth. Listen to me, it's a prophetic word. They will be broken suddenly. That the nations of the earth, that is the young generations afterwards, we know that this is the wrong way to achieve results in life. Do you get my point? I'm bringing out a point. If you see a man who is making money by violence, if you see a man who is achieving wealth, physically speaking now, by iniquity, by doing things that are wrong, then know assuredly that that man will be broken suddenly, that young people might know that this is the wrong way forward. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You see, because we are praying for this country, God cannot allow iniquity to continue to thrive. It will be judged publicly and suddenly that the generations afterwards may learn the righteous ways. He said, when their judgments are upon the earth, O God, the inhabitants thereof, they learn righteousness. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm emphasizing something to us this evening, that what God rewards for good openly must have been done in secret. Now, the emphasis in that regard in our teachings now, in light of what we have been saying in the last 4 weeks, and that is the fact that when in your heart you are going looking out for good for a land, when in your heart you are praying, Jesus said, enter into your closet. I want you to notice something here. He said, pray and God will give you your reward. Now, there's a question you should quickly ask yourself there. If I pray and God answers me, is that a reward? The answer is no. That is an answer to prayer. What Jesus was talking about here, actually, is that when you are praying for the redemption of Jerusalem, he was speaking in specific terms. That's why I read from Psalm 122. He said, when you are praying for the redemption of a nation, when you are praying that the righteousness of God might begin to prosper in a land, you are not praying for yourself, you are praying for something bigger than yourself. That way you are sowing a seed into that society, and Jesus said you will be rewarded openly. That is, when you, because of righteousness, punish yourself. That is, you are in a market. Everybody is trading in fake products. One of my senior colleagues was telling me the other day that he's building a house and that all the electrical products he first bought to equip that house, they were all fake. He said, I have been burnt badly. And he paid money that he labored hard for it. And if you are the type to do that kind of thing, let me tell you, that is why your own house will catch fire at midday and people won't understand what happened. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, so if you're in that kind of market, you make up your mind that I will not do what everybody else is doing. I know that you will make less money initially. And I'm emphasizing that word initially, because as we continue to pray and prophesy over this nation, you will discover that it is people like you that will eventually succeed. Now, but for this temporary time, let us just stick with this. And you find out that you are not making money initially. Now, what's happening is that you are pouring forth your soul as an offering for the redemption of a land. God said, if you do that, what you have done is that you have stored up accounts for yourself in heaven. And at the time that is appropriate, God will pour forth a blessing upon you, number one, and number two, upon your descendants. Now, I need to emphasize this. The blessings of God that are really from God, they tend to endure into many generations. That is, your children will be blessed because of the righteous work you did in the presence of God. Let me emphasize this. Sometimes in life, people try to, you know, we see this a lot of times. A man wants his children to, they say, I want to give my children an opportunity. I want to give them a chance in life. So what do I mean? When my wife is pregnant, she must go and deliver in America. When my wife is pregnant, she must go and deliver in London. Say, why? He said, because you never can tell. You know, you have to give your children an opportunity. Let me tell you something. See, physically speaking, it may appear like you're doing what is wise, but you are obviously bereft of spiritual understanding. Because if you understood spiritual things, you will know that the best way to give your children an opportunity in life is that, I want to just give you some basic things that you can do. That when your wife is pregnant, take all the money you can, go to a motherless baby's home and equip the place for those children. You are blessing the life of that child that has not been born. That is not the best motive for doing such things. Anyway, I just want to use a principle. If you understand spiritual things, I remember one man. He said something once. He said his daughter was pregnant. She was married. And he was concerned about the future of that grandchild. This child has to be educated. He knew how difficult things were in their country. All right? And in an American, anyway, don't think that the guy's from Burundi. When I say things are difficult in their country, the guy's an American. A wealthy American, for that matter. So he said, you know what he did? He said he went to one university nearby, being a wealthy man, and asked them, what do you people need here? They told him and he gave them money. He said the reason why he did, they didn't understand, that he did that as a seed for the education of his grandchild. That is, he understood spiritual things. He did not go to lay up money aside. He began to help educate those who are already there. He said, God, I will help people. You help my own descendants. Now, that is, in fact, the best motive for such things is just to do it so as to bless those people. But I'm trying to explain something that if you really have spiritual understanding, the way we are going about some of the things we are running after is not the correct way. If you want your children to have a future, you must download blessings from God. Blessings are not spontaneous. They are commanded. God will always require an excuse to bless somebody. He said because of the love that David had for him and the love that he was reciprocating towards David, he said if his children offended him, that is the children of David, that he said he would not reject them like rejected Saul, but he would just discipline them so as to correct them back into righteousness. What am I trying to say? That is the blessing of God upon David. God said it will affect his children after him. I always used to say that Solomon was not the wise man. It was David. It is just that in the life of David, that wisdom could not be manifested. So God took the wisdom and threw it into the life of Solomon. And he orchestrated events so that Solomon would be able to receive that wisdom. You will see that when Solomon was going to ask God for wisdom, go and read Proverbs very well. You will see that it was an instruction from David. David had told him, anytime you come to a crossroads, ask for wisdom. So Solomon was an extension of the life of David. I'm explaining something here. If you want your descendants to be blessed, practice these things I've been teaching the last 4 weeks. If you want security for your descendants on this earth, practice these things that we have been saying in the last 4 weeks. 1, walk righteously. 2, pray for the redemption of your land. David said it like this. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Psalm 122. He said, may all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. What was he saying? Anybody who will pray for the peace of his nation, he will prosper in that nation. God told the children of Israel that when I'm sending you out into Babylon, I want you to do something when you get there. Pray for the prosperity of that land, because when you do that and the land begins to prosper, I will be able to prosper you. Are you getting my point? That there are two issues there. Number one, their prayer. They must have a heart that loves the land. It's very funny that people here will be grumbling about the country. We don't love this country. Love is not something you feel in your heart. It's something you do in reality. I don't know whether you get what I want to say. That is, when people are damaging some that belongs to government, you should be the one to rise up against and say, this is not right. If you are a vandal, you are a pipeline vandal, you are a vandal of NEPA installations, you are a vandal of government property, your descendants will not prosper easily. They will have to work extra hard to begin to prosper. Even if you went and gave birth to them in America, when they get there, they will be beggars. Let me tell you something. You cannot effectively prosper in a land where you have not sowed spiritual seed. It is not possible. It's very funny. We just run up and down begging for visas. Look, I have seen people who stole money to buy a visa and they expect to prosper where they are going. Are you getting my point? You do a lot of evil in the land where you are dwelling right now and you think a visa will deliver you from evil. Let me tell you something. Repercussions are spiritual. You are sowing spiritual seeds. Spiritual things follow you everywhere. Don't let anybody deceive you that curses don't cross the ocean. They do. Do you know why? They are inside your heart. There is an aura inside your spirit that you carry on that plane as you are going. Do you get my point? When you get to that land, you will become a beggar. You cannot be a prosperous man in America if you are a crook in Nigeria. That's the truth. Let me tell you young people that think that stealing, 419, armed robbery is the way to make money. You will get to a point in life, you will look back over your years, you will be biting your fingers, they will refuse to cut. I don't know what I'm going to say. It is called burning with fire that is unquenchable. You will look for repentance, you will not be able to find it. I like one thing Ben Carson said once. He said that young men, there's something that they do. They tell them, I don't want anybody to tell me how to live my life. I want to do what I like. You know, nobody can tell me when to do something. So they refuse to obey laws. They refuse to discipline themselves. They refuse to obey their parents. They say, I want to have everything my own, my colleagues are having. After some of my friends are wearing the best shirts, my friends are wearing Armani suits, my friends are driving cars. At the end of the day, because of those things, they go into crime and iniquity. Now, this is what Ben Carson said. He said, they end up in a place where their freedom is totally removed. They are told when to wake up. They are told when to eat. They are told when to exercise. They are told when to go to bed. They are told when to put out their lights. What is that place called? Prison. Jail. He said because they refused to obey restrictions in the time that they should be obeying restrictions. His mother could hardly read nor write. Yet the woman told them, simple instruction. He had two boys. He said, two of you, you will write, you will summarize a book for me every week. They did not know, the woman did not even know how to read their summary. But because he obeyed his mother, the restrictions that the mother placed upon him made him a man of influence that he is still till today. Are you getting my point? Listen, you cannot sow tares and expect to reap wheat. If you are doing iniquity, it will catch up with you. You will be broken, and the Bible said that without remedy. Now, let me get back to my main message. But young men, please note the things I have said. So I'm explaining that if you want your children to have a future, listen, you do the right things now. The blessings of God pass on to your descendants. In this country, if you are going to be one of the prosperous people, when the blessing of God really begins to pour, when order begins to be restored into the society, you have to sow spiritual seeds now. And the things that we have said in the past is, number one, you cleanse your ways. And number two, you begin to ask God for mercy upon the land. And number three, you begin to prophesy continually upon this land. Don't let any newspaper deceive you that Nigeria is a hopeless country. It is not true. Go and ask Americans. They also think maybe their country is also hopeless. The place that you are running to, there are people who are begging to get out of there. Michael Jackson has packed out of America. There's persecution everywhere. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, if you want peace and prosperity, it is not to run away to the places of peace and prosperity. Otherwise, your case will become like that of Issachar, who Jacob prophesied concerning in Genesis chapter 49. He said, Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds. When he saw that the resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, he bowed his shoulder to bear burdens and became a slave at forced labor. Do you understand my point? You know, the other day, my dad was talking with me. He describes one of his friends those days. Now, my father is in his 70s. Now, one of his friends, many years ago, he described how the man left shortly after independence, followed a white woman, went to America. He was now remarking that, do I know that this man has only come back home since? Once. And that there was a time the man did some things. Now, not in recent times, that's long ago, to deceive a lot of people. So, I was saying that he doesn't understand why that man has refused to come back home. That he now hears that now he's trying to come back home. That is, the man is also in his 70s. I said, Daddy, let me tell you the truth. He hasn't come back because he has not been able to afford to come back. For those of you who don't know, that's the basic truth. I said, the man has not come back because he has not prospered in the place that he went to. Oh, what am I trying to explain? Don't let your life be like that of Issachar, who, because the resting place is good, he becomes a slave at forced labor. You know what that means? That is, to get his food, he works hard for it. I'm telling you spiritual things that guarantee success, not just for you, but for your children. Do you understand my point? The people you think are foolish now because they are not running after life, self-preservation like you are running after, are the ones that will be preserved. You get my point? Now, those are the things that we have said. I just wanted to review all these things to help us remember them. Life is basically a spiritual matter. I don't mean you have to join a cult and start doing transcendental meditation for you to be able to control life. No. I mean that when you are doing things on campus, when you are stealing phones around town, you are oppressing people on campus, you are killing your future. You will be a beggar. It's not a curse. If you don't repent, you will beg. That's a fact. Are you getting my point? When in your little areas you have turned yourself into an oppressor, you will beg eventually in your life. It's a spiritual principle. But who is the man that will succeed? The man who is literally laying down his life for the redemption of a nation, for the blessing of his society. That's the man who will be blessed tomorrow. Let nobody fool you that go to this place, that's where money is. Anytime you want to shift, ask yourself, what impact can I be in the place where I'm going to? Do you understand my point? That is, if I'm making an impact here and I'm earning less, I would rather stay here than go to another place where I'm earning more and yet I am not blessing anybody's lives. If you are used copper and you are listening to me tonight, let me just use this to encourage your heart. The place to which you have been sent on your primary assignment, before you reject it as a bad place, look at it and decide whether you can help somebody there. Do you understand my point? Whether your 1 year will be productive as you are staying there. Don't look at it as whether they gave you a toilet and bathroom and your room is air-conditioned or whether they are paying enough extra allowances. That's not the issue. Are you getting my point? That what should really be driving you, if they posted it to a school in a village, listen to me, it's a privilege. It's a rare opportunity. You may never have that opportunity again in your life. But the seed that you sowed while you were in that village, that is what will preserve your life in the place that you are going to later. Are you getting my point? All right. Now, so those are the things that we have said. Don't ever forget, today is the day of your salvation. It is the time to make decisions that will prevent you from being forever enslaved. Do you understand my point? Now, today, before I go, please, I would like to introduce the series of messages that I will begin to develop further next week, which I have titled, cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. Cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. Let me introduce that message and then I will close for today. Now, Miles Monroe explained that you must recognize and cooperate with the season of life so that you don't get injured in them. This is what I mean. He said that there is a particular way you dress in summer. You don't try it in winter. Now, the seasons of life, therefore, you will notice from that, they don't recognize your desires. They don't recognize your wishes. God created the seasons, and it is your duty to recognize your seasons in life and do what is necessary in that particular season. And that, for you, will be wisdom. Now, if you don't do what is necessary in a particular season, you are not likely to reap the result you actually desire in the next. There's something that the Bible says. It said there is a proper procedure for every event on this earth. What was he saying? That if a man wants to succeed, we're talking about the way of success, there is a way to it. You are getting my point? Because if you don't do those right things, I said that the seasons of life, they don't respect your desires. When the season for results come, and you did not plant in the season of sowing, you will have no harvest. Let me explain what I'm going to say. See, God said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. You get what I'm going to say there? Therefore, if in the time of harvest you want to plant seeds, you have missed it. Listen, your life is basically in two seasons. Seed time and harvest. We've discussed this in previous times. What I want to teach in this series, like I said, the title is Cooperating with the Seasons of Life. You must know when you are in seed time and be planting seeds, not running for harvest. Do you understand that point? And that's why we're going over this. And then you see, there's another thing you have to bear in mind. If you are in your season of seed, or you are in the season of incubation, and you do not realize that that is the season that you are in, all right? Then what will happen is that your heart will become faint. Because in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it says, desire or hope that is deferred will make the heart sick. Are you getting my point? That is, if a farmer does not realize that this is planting season, and he goes to his farm, maybe he leaves the house, the children are hungry, the wife is hungry, so he says, let me get to the farm and go and harvest. And he goes there expecting to see fruit. When he gets there, he will be disappointed when he doesn't see it. I don't know whether you understand the point I'm making there. He will be disappointed. But if he knew, he would have sought an alternative without raising the hopes of his family unnecessarily. Are you getting my point? A friend of mine was talking with me a few nights ago. He said that this particular year, I made some very weighty decisions that cost me a lot of money. I knew I was losing money as I was making those decisions. I knew that I wouldn't get money from it. He said, but, Banky, there are necessary decisions for me to step to the next level in life. He said, I'm believing God that as next year comes, I will begin to reap the harvest of the seed I sowed this year. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say here. That is, natural people will have looked and said, this guy is very stupid. He was making money here. He decided to leave the place. He said, listen, it was the season for leaving that place. And that cost me money. I've told you, salvation is not free. All this lie that people lie to, that salvation is free, is not true. The salvation that is free is why people have been behaving anyhow and calling themselves Christians. Your faith will always cost you. Are you getting my point? You are looking for a political appointment, you are looking for a government appointment, you are looking for a contract, and you stand by your faith. It might cost you that job, it might cost you that contract. The fact that you made money from me and you came to church to drop tithes and offering has not redeemed you from your iniquity. I hope you are getting my point. The payment for your progress will have been that you lost that job. Your testimony shouldn't be all the time that, praise God, I got the contract. There are times your testimony should be that, brethren, listen, I stood by my faith and my righteousness and I lost money. In the Bible, men have lost things because they stood for their faith. All right, so I'll begin to develop this next time. We're going to divide the seasons of life into five different stages. Let me just run through it and then I will close with that. Number one, you will see there's a stage of sitting down and counting. Then number two, there is a stage of the trial of your faith. And number three, there is a position of rest. Four, there is a season of fruitfulness. And then five, there is the season of multiplication and dominion. I'll develop that beginning from next week.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.